All right, Shabbos, we'll say good morning. Good morning. I hope everybody had a beautiful Shabbos, an uplifting and restful weekend. And it is a schos, Baruch Hashem, to be back learning all of us together. Today's daf is Memches. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tammuz, Reb Naftali Tilson of Talmud Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month. In commemoration of the yard sites of his parents, Rabbi Yonah ben Avram Leib and Rivka bas Yaakov. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Meretz Hashem, their neshama shev and aliyah, the family and nechama, and we should all be zochem Meretz Hashem to finish Shas together bekarav. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Jacob and Julie Blumenfeld, for dedicating all the shurim this week, Le'ili Nishmas, Jacob's grandmother, Henna Bas Mordechai. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Again, I both say this morning is Daf Memches. Today is Daf Memches. 48. We are picking up. Actually, I meant to put this out in the chat yesterday. I'm hoping I'm picking up where you left off yesterday. Last line of Mem Zayin Amud Beis 47b. And if not, you're going to have a little bit of homework. So I'll say, so remember again, in yesterday's Daf, we saw a fascinating machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you remember again, it's centered around the following case. This is the way the case was originally framed. Reuven owns a field. He sells the peros. He sells literally the fruit of the field to Shimon. So now, just understand. So Reuven owns what we'll call the karka, or the guf, the body of the field. Shimon has now the rights to use the peros. What's the shaila, Rabbosai? The shaila is, can you go ahead? Now, obviously, Shimon, who has the fruit, he's going to go ahead and bring Bikurim, right? The question is, can he recite the recitation for Bikurim, what we call Mikra Bikurim, right? Remember, again, we know from the Torah that there's a whole series of psukim that have to be recited when you bring the Bikurim. So this is the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said, maybe the Kore, you bring the Bikurim and you read the psukim. Reish Lakish said, maybe the Eino Kore, you could bring the Bikurim, but you cannot read the psukim. What is that machlokes based on? So the Gemara understood it to mean that it's a machlokes as to whether or not we say, Kinyan HaPeros, Kinyan HaGuf. Do we say that rights over peros, right? Rights over peros represent essentially title over the property or not? Right? Is it kinyan, is acquisition over the peros tantamount to kinyan, to acquisition over the actual karka itself? Rabbi Yochanan holds yes, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you have rights to peros, you bring the Bikurim and you recite the Psukim. Reish Lakish holds no. Therefore, Reish Lakish will say, bring the Bikurim, absolutely bring the Bikurim, but no recitation. Fine. So that's the machlokes. Last line, 47. And both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish go according to their reason. How so? Itmar Bosei, so this is actually an interesting case. Hamocher Sadeu, tap of Memches, Bisman Shehayovel Noig. If one goes ahead and sells his field at a time that Yovel is in effect. Now, we'll say, take a look at the top Rashi Memches and Dalef. Rashi is Bizman Shah Yovel Noig. This is absolutely fascinating. He says, Kol Nechir, now, we'll say, remember again, we spoke about when does Yovel apply? Essentially, when all of Klal Yisrael is situated in Eretz Yisrael. What does all of Klal Yisrael mean? It obviously doesn't require 100%. Is it 51%? Is it a supermajority? Okay, so that's a discussion. So listen to this. But when Yovel does apply, ultimately, look at Rashi, Komechiras Karko Leperos Sharichozer HaGuf B'Yovel. Shabbos said, this is a fascinating idea. When Yovel applies, there is no such thing as an actual sale of real estate, right? Rather, what do you have when Yovel applies? You have long-term leases. Now, why is that? What happens during Yovel? All property returns back to its original owner. So this is fascinating. So the real estate market, when Yovel applies, is long-term leases. How long are the long-term leases? Up to 50 years, whatever, in the 48, because Yovel's the 50th year. So the longest long-term lease. Now again, you could go ahead and renew every single Yovel, but it's a long-term lease. Isn't that fascinating? We'll say, you should just know, in many parts of Yerushalayim to this day, it still operates in the same way. I don't know why that is in terms of the state of Israel, but there are pieces like this. Well, anyway, it's not a topic. So listen to this. When Yovel is in effect, Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore I will say, it turns out, so watch this. It turns out that when Yovel is in effect, that halacha lemaisa, if Reuven sells land to Shimon, right? You're never selling land. What are you selling? What are you selling? Peros. You're selling peros. Essentially, what you're selling is the right to use that land, get benefit from that land, up until the Yovel year. So in essence, you are not selling karka, you're selling peros. So watch this. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, therefore, maybe v'korei. Rish Lakish Omer, maybe v'korei. Sif Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi said that when Yovel is in effect, if you, quote-unquote, buy real estate, so you could go ahead and you bring bikurim, you could go ahead and make the bikurim recitation when you bring your bikurim. Rish Lakish says, no, bring your bikurim, but no recitation. Rabbi says the same machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, maybe v'korei, kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf dami, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that rights to peros are effectively treated like having title over the property itself. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you bring the bikurim and you do the recitation. Rish Lakish maybe ve'ino korei, kinyan peros lavka kinyan aguf dami. Rish Lakish says, no. You bring the bikurim. Again, I'm supposed to be clear. Everyone is going to agree that you're obligated to bring the bikurim. But halacha lemaisa, Reish Lakish says, you do not recite the accompanying psukim. Why? Because kinyan peros, rights over peros, is not tantamount to title, to kinyan over the to kinyan on what we call the guf, on the actual body of the karka. Good. Shavuot says, so essentially now, we have the same machlokas two times. Right? The same machlokas we saw in yesterday's daf. Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, do we say kinyan peros ke kinyan aguf? Does essentially Rabbi say, really what it means is, do usage rights, are they halachically equivalent to title or not? That's what it means, because kinyan peros, I will say, is the right of usage, right? It literally is translated as the rights to peros, to the actual fruits of the land, but really what it means is the rights of usage. Are usage rights tantamount to title? Reish Rabbi Yochanan says yes, and therefore if you have usage rights, you are treated as the owner of the land. And as owner of the land, when you bring bikurim, not only do you bring the fruit, but what else do? You recite the psukim. Reish Lakish says, usage rights are fantastic, but usage rights are not equivalent to title. And therefore, again, when you bring peros, you do not recite the accompanying psukim. Now the Gemara is supposed to say, why do I need two cases that teach me the same thing? So tzricha, I need both cases. Why? Di'i itmar bahi. Because if it would have just said that case, previous case, bahi kamar Reish Lakish, di'chi kanochis, adaita de'pera kanochis. So Rabbi say, in the previous case, where Reuven was selling peros to Shimon, Shimon clearly only bought peros, right? That was his intention. So maybe that's the case where Reish Lakish says, you bring the bikurim, but you don't do the recitation, because it's clear that Shimon's intent was only for peros. Rabbi will say, in the case that we just mentioned, where Reuven is selling land to Shimon, where Shimon's intent is to actually buy land, I would have thought that Reish Lakish would agree with Rabbi Yochanan, and that Shimon would bring the bikurim and recite the psukim. And while Rabbi Yochanan, v'itmar b'ha, if we would have just said the second case, b'ha kam Rabbi Yochanan, only Rabbi Yochanan only says his position, that kinyan peros ke kinyan aguf is in the second case. Why? Because in the second case, I will say, Reuven is quote-unquote selling land to Shimon. Ava b'hach im Reish Lakish, maybe in the first case, where Reuven is only going out and selling peros to Shimon, maybe Rabbi Yochanan would agree with Reish Lakish that kinyan peros lav ke kinyan haguf tami. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, we need both cases. Fine. But I will say, but bottom line, it's the same machlokes. Do we say kinyan peros ke kinyan haguf? Do you, halachik, I will say, are usage rights treated like ownership rights? And I will say, I just want to be clear. No one is actually saying that if you have peros, that gives you title. What we're asking is, from a halachic perspective, do usage rights essentially, are you, once you have usage rights, are you treated halachically as if you have title as well? So therefore, again, I will say, and the manifestation of this, of course, is by bikurim. Because by bikurim, if you have fruits, you're obligated to bring bikurim. But the only time you recite the accompanying psukim is when you own the real estate from which the fruits are being brought. So this is the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan will say, Kinyan peiros kekinyan aguf. Usage rights halachically are treated as if you have title. As if you have title. Reish Lakish, no, usage rights are usage rights, but they do not give you halachically convey to you title. Good. So we'll say, let's analyze this a bit more. Really interesting. Tashma. So we're going to ask a couple of kashas. Hakone ilan, the karko. We'll say if a person purchases a tree and its surrounding land, maybe the kore. You go ahead and you bring bikurim and you go ahead and recite the psukim. This would seem to be a support to Rabbi Yochanan. Tushimar says, no. Hakama askinan. What's the case here? Bizman she'ein hayovel noheg. Oh, so what is the case? I'm about to say, it's talking about a case where yovel's not in effect. Now, when yovel's not in effect, then what? I'm about to say, then what? When you sell real estate, what happens? What happens? You sell real estate. Remember, again, I'm about to say, the fundamental distinction between when yovel is in effect, when yovel's not in effect. When yovel's in effect, what's the status of real estate transactions? Long-term leasing. Long-term leasing. There really is no sale. When yovel's not in effect, you could actually go ahead and sell karka, to which the Gemara is suggesting this brisa that talks about selling a tree and its surrounding land, and that the purchaser has to bring bikurim and recite the psukim, is talking about a situation where yovel doesn't apply, and therefore, yovel is not in effect, and therefore, again, there are real estate transactions. Tashma, if a person acquires two trees in the field of his friend, maybe ve'eino kore, right? He brings bikurim from those two trees, but does not recite the accompanying psukim. What I can infer from that is hashlosha maybe ve'kore. Now, what I could infer from that is what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if you were to purchase three trees, that you would also become the owner of the land around the trees and bring bikurim and recite the psukim. Shabbos says, so once again, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? That halacha l'maisa, when you acquire trees or when you acquire prayers, you acquire title. No. Once again, what is this case talking about? Where there's no yovel. So I will say, everyone is going to agree that when there is no yovel, ultimately, again, you acquire karka. When you acquire karka, you acquire title. When you acquire title, when you bring bikurim, you not only bring the fruits, but you also make the recitation. So the Gemara says, V'hashta d'amrav chista, Rebbe says, now this is very interesting. Now that Rav Chista came along and qualified this a little bit more and said as follows, machlokes biyovel sheni. It will say, all of this is a machlokes by the second yovel. Aval biyovel rishon, when it comes to the first yovel, divrei hakol mevi v'kore. Everyone agrees that when you sell peros, that the purchaser goes ahead and brings bikurim, and also does the recitation. Why? Dakati lo samach datayhu. Because again, the seller is not yet confident that he's going to get back his land. And I will say, what's happening over here? So this is absolutely fascinating. So listen to this. Rav Chista says, by the way, there was a big distinction between what we'll call the first yovel and the second yovel. We'll say, what is the first yovel? The first yovel literally means the first yovel that Klal Yisrael ever observed. So we'll say, so just let's take a little bit of a journey back in time. So can you imagine, I will say, that first Yovel, right? That first Yovel, so the 50th year comes. See, you know the Torah says, what happens in Yovel? All land is returned back to its original ancestral owner. So we'll say, as Yovel is approaching, if you sold property, what's going on in your mind? What's going on in your mind? The Gemara is saying, there's no way I'm getting back that property. Right? So in other words, the owner says, okay, I know it. Let's say, you know, there are certain things the Torah says, doesn't necessarily mean they come true. Right? In other words, I should say that. Everything the Torah says come true. The Shaila is a din in compliance. Right? There are many things the Torah says that people don't necessarily comply with. So therefore, again, the first Yovel is approaching, and or even before the first Yovel is approaching, right? Reuven sells Shimon land, and it's within the first agricultural cycle of Yovel. They both know that the Torah says 50 years later, the property has to revert back to its original owner. What doesn't anyone know? is there going to be compliance with this halacha? Remember, again, we're talking about the first Yovel. There's no historical precedent. So Rav Chisda wants to make a fascinating distinction. Rav Chisda says that it's very possible that during that first Yovel, when people sold land, they kind of sold it thinking that they weren't going to get it back. Now, even though we know the halacha, are the purchasers really going to comply? In subsequent Yovelos, after the first Yovel Baruch Hashem was observed, after that, when people sold property, how did they look at their property sales? How did they look at it? Long-term leasing. And therefore, everyone was on the same page that when you quote-unquote bought real estate, you weren't buying real estate. You were entering into a long-term lease. Essentially, what you were getting as the purchaser was kinyan peros, but you are not getting kinyan guf. It was, take a look at Rashi. This is fascinating. Rashi says, machlokes, v'eshlagesh Rabbi Yochanan. So also, if Chisda's coming along and saying as follows, he's saying this whole machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, about whether or not kinyan peros is kinyan haguf or not, is only by the first Yovel. It's only by the first Yovel. But by subsequent Yovlos, everyone is in agreement. Right? Avabu Yovel, right? Everyone is in agreement. I'm sorry, I said that the wrong way. The Machlokis is only by subsequent Yovlos. But by the first Yovel, everyone agrees that what? That you would bring the Bikurim and you would recite the Psukim. Why? Because ultimately, again, the sellers were not confident that they were getting their property back. The purchasers were not confident that they were returning that property back. And therefore, they effectively became the complete owners of the property for Bikurim purposes. Look at Rashi. V'yovel sheni. Shemoni Yisrael shekvar hurgulu lahachzir karkos. Bahi kamre shlagish mevi ve'eno kore. Desamcha daite democher devadei hadrot lei. V'zua tuach shiachzirenu. So this is very interesting. So Rav Chisda makes this fascinating distinction that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is only what we call Yovel Sheni, subsequent Yovelos. In those Yovelos, Reish Lakish said, listen, everyone knows they're giving back property. So because everyone knows they're giving back property, they know all they have is peros, not king and aguf, and therefore Allah and I said, bring me kurim, but don't recite psukim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Kinyan peros for 50 years is halachically tantamount to kinyan aguf, and therefore bring peros and what? Recite the psukim. However, again, by Yovel Rishon, in the first Yovel, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that halach lamaisa, you would have brought peros and what? Recited the psukim. Why? Because since not everyone was confident that there was going to be compliance with the return of land, everyone agreed that for the period of that first Yovel, kinyan peros, kinyan aguf tami. Is that not fascinating? To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, habi yovel rishon, habi yovel sheni. So this Rav will say, by the way, once you have that, the way also you could go ahead and answer up all the previous brisos is to talk about the fact that certain brisos are talking about yovel rishon, certain yovel sheni. Fine, leave it ketanai. So as they say that this machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is really a machlokes tanoim. Listen to this. So just a word of introduction to this. We'll say in the world of real estate, there are two different types of fields you could have. You could have a ste achuza and a ste mekach, right? A sade achuza and a sade mekach. Ste achuza, we'll say, is a person selling ancestral land. Versus a stay mekach, a stay mekach could just be a field that's exchanging hands just through many buyers. Now, I will say, obviously, every field traces its roots back to a stay achuza, to an ancestral field, right? But Lamaisa, Halacha looks at Torah, looks at these two fields a little bit differently. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, you see the Rashi that says stay achuza? Let's just look at this. He says, emikdisha v'lo galav. So we'll say, so imagine the following situation. I have an ancestral field, which means, right, this is a field that's been in my family from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, during the original Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? I'm makdish my stei achuza. I consecrate my ancestral field. Okay? There's not a you're allowed to do that. Now watch this. V'lo ga'ala kodem ha'yovel, u'machra gizbar li'acher. So we'll say, now watch this. Here's the way it works with stei achuza, and this is actually quite fascinating. If you're Makdish, you're Steachuza, right? So I have in my ancestral field. So again, remember, ancestral field means it's part of mine, it's part of my family from the original division of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So now, I'm Makdish that field. What does that mean? I consecrate to the Beis HaMikdash. I have until Yovel to redeem that field, which is a pretty significant, I mean, depending on when you're Makdish it, but a pretty significant redemption window. If I don't redeem it by Yovel, the Gizbar, the temple treasurer, sells it. Sells it. Once he sells it, it's done. All sales are final. In other words, that field never reverts back to my family. And I will say, that's very dramatic. And I would say also like, a little bit also like, geographically traumatic. Why? Because what that has the ability to do is totally disrupt the biblical division of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but in any event, but it works.
But it works.
So the Maaseh now, if I don't redeem it by Yovel, Gizbar sells it, be no longer mine. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. He says, "In the Gelas Od, she yotzi biyovel miyad alocha mina Gizbar mischalakes lakohanim." Now I will say, now watch this. Now, ultimately, now in the next Yovel, right? In the next Yovel, right? I'm sorry. She yotzi biyovel miyad alocha mina Gizbar. Now I will say, now the following Yovel, it actually reverts back to the Beis Hamikdash. Right, and then becomes the property of the Kohanim. Mischalakes Lachanim Shneemar Vimlo Yigal Es Asada. The Haya Asada would say so. Ustevo say that's Steachuza. That's Steachuza. Ustei Mikne. Now, say now, what about a regular sale of a field? Ustei Mikne Kishikdisha Velo Gala Umachra Gizbar Kishiyotzev Yovel Choseres LeBaylim Harishonim Shemachru LeMakdish. Ustevo say now, watch this. Good. Sorry, I'm sorry. I said it wrong. By Steachuza, let me just go back for just 1 second. By Steachuza, no, correct. By Stei Makdish, we'll say. So, by Stei Mekach, if I just sell a field, right? See, I purchased a field from Reuven. I decided to be Makdish that field. So, I said, which is fine. I could do that. But Lamaisa again comes Yovel, that field goes back to its original owner. Okay, so that's the difference over here. By Steachuza, if I makdish my field and do not redeem it by Yovel, I've lost that field forever. By Stei Mekach, which is a field I bought from someone else, I could still be makdish it, but by Yovel, it goes back to its original owner. Beautiful. That's the intro. Here we go. So I will say, let's go. Lema katanoi. Minayim lelokeach sada mi'aved. So I will say, this is an interesting case here. I purchase a field from my father. Now I will say, now what's unique about this? What's unique about this case? What kind of field am I purchasing? Now right now, it's a stay mekach because my father is alive. Right? But one day, when my father passes away, so what's going to happen? That becomes steachuza. So watch this. So minayin lokeach me'aviv. So minayin lokeach sada me'aviv. So I say, I go and I purchase a field from my father. Vikdisha. I consecrated the field. So we'll say, so let's go be clear. What kind of field did I consecrate? A stei mekach. What's the halacha by stei mekach? What happens at Yovel? Goes back to its original owner, which in this case would be my father. Okay. V'achakach meis aviv. Afterwards, the father passes away. Minayin shetehele fun of kisteachuza. So I say, so now the shaila is. Right? So let's use different names, right? So you have Yaakov. Yaakov is the father. Yaakov is a son, Reuven. Reuven bought a field from his father and then was makdish the field. Fine. So essentially, Reuven was makdish a stay mekach. So no problem. If Reuven does nothing and Yovel comes, then what? Field goes back to Yaakov. Now what happens? Sometime after Reuven was makdish the field, Yaakov dies. Now what's the shayla? So I say, so now, if Reuven does nothing until Yovel, what happens? Do we look at it as a steachuza? In which case, again, Reuven's lost the field forever? Or do we look at it as a stei mekach? In which case, technically, the field goes back to the owner, which now happens to be who? Reuven, because Yaakov died. So the Gemara says, how do I know that this field was looked at as a steachuza? Talmud Lomar, im es sedei miknaso asher lo misteachuza so. Sada she'ina ru'uya lios de'achuza. So we'll say it's referring to a field that is not fit to become or not going to become a ste'achuza. Yatsa sazu she'ru'uya lios ste'achuza. Comes to exclude this case, ultimately, again, I will say, which is fit to become a ste'achuz, the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Shimon Rebbe Meir Omer, minayin lo keach, stada de'me aviv. So we'll say, Rebbe Shimon Rebbe Meir say, how do you know if Reuven buys a field from his father, umes aviv, and then ultimately, again, Yaakov dies, the acharkach hikdisha, and then ultimately again. So we'll say, so in this case over here, just to be clear, right, Reuven purchased the field from his father, was not makdishit yet, didn't do anything. Right, now what happens? Then Yaakov dies, father dies, the acharkach hikdisha, then Reuven was makdish the field. So we'll say, what's unique about this case? How did Reuven originally gain possession of this field? How did he gain? Right, as what? As what? As a stay mikna. As a stay mikna. Once the field was in his hands, what did it transform into? A stay achuza, because his father died. After his father died, now he's makdish the field. Minay shatele fanav ke stay achuza. How do you know about say that once he's makdish it, we treat this as a stay achuza, Talmud Lomar, and mistay miknosa shalom stay achuza so. Sada she'ina stay achuza. It comes to Rabbi, talking about a field that is not a ste'achuza. Yatsa sazu, she ste'achuza. Ultimately, it comes to exclude a case where it is a ste'achuza. So we'll say, so again, remember, the interesting part, so the distinction between cases one and cases two. In case one, Reuven purchases the field from his father, is makdishit, then the father dies. Case number two, Rabbi says, Reuven purchases the field from his father dies, and then Reuven is makdishit. So the Gemara is telling us that in case number two, that is considered to be a ste'achuza case, since we look at the status of the field at the time it was makdishit. Okay. Ve'ilu, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, meis ave v'achakach hekdisha, lo tzricha kra. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Shimon, the case of where Reuven purchased the field, then the father died, and then Reuven was makdish the field. That pasuk does that case doesn't need a pasuk. Why? So lo tzricha kra, doesn't need a pasuk. My labaka mefligi, what are they arguing about? Tere meres savar, kinyan peres, kinyan aguf tami. Rabbi Meir holds that kinyan peres is kinyan aguf. Ubaha b'misas aviv hu delo yaris. And I will say, in this situation, it's with the death of the father that he does not acquire anything. He doesn't velomidi because since he already owned kinyan peros, therefore by definition he already had kinyan aguf. V'hilchach mes aviv ve'achakach hekdisha sarach kra. So therefore, I will say, ultimately again, the case of where the father died, right, and then he was makdish requires a pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Savra, Kinyan Peres, Laf, Kinyan Aguf. They hold Kinyan Peres is not a Kinyan Aguf. Ubaha, B'misas, Aviv, Hashtohu, the Kiyaris. And now, both say, because they hold Kinyan Peres is not a Kinyan Aguf, it's only once the father dies that he actually acquires the title. V'hilchach, Mes Aviv, V'achakach, Hikdisha, Lotzricha, Kra. And therefore, the case of where the father dies and afterwards he's Makdish, it doesn't need a Pasuk. Why was it? Because it's obvious, because now he's the full owner. V'chi itzrich kra, so where do you need a pasuk? La'agdisha v'achar kach meis aviv hu de itzrich. I need it, Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of where ultimately he was makdish at first, and then the father died. Amra nacharai yitzrach li'olam eim l'cha. So again, so all the Gemara is just trying to do over here is trying to show that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in fact a machlokes tanoim. And they're bringing this up, Rabbi, in the case of stei mikna and stei achuza. Fine. So the Gemara says as follows. Amra nacharai yitzrach li'olam eim l'cha. Ba'ama kasavi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon kinyan peres ke kinyan aguf. Dami. It could very well be that really Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon both agree that kinyan peres is ke kinyan aguf. Ba'acha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, kra ashkechu v'darosh. Here, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon found the pasuk, and they dashed it. Why? Because lichtov rachmana im es sedei mikna so asher lo achuza so. Why doesn't the pasuk just say a stei mikna that is not his achuza? My mistei achuza so. Why does it have to use lashon a pasuk mistei achuza so? Sada she'ina ruuya lihios stei achuza so. So I was talking about a case, I will say, of a field that is not going to become a ste'achuza. Yotza sazu sheru'uya lihios ste'achuza. Comes to exclude this case of where a stei mikna could become a ste'achuza. I will say, what's the case of where a stei mikna could become a ste'achuza? What case is that? That's the case of where you buy a field from your father, right? That field could become a stei achuza. So let's pause here for just a moment. So what we just have over here. So let's talk about what we attempted to do and what we did not do. So remember again, we have machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. That's our overarching machlokes for today. What's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? What's the machlokes? Do we say kinyan peros iske kinyan gofra? We'll say that is if right. If you have a one track mind, that's the track, right? That's the track. Do we say that when you have usage rights? Do usage rights, are they effectively equivalent to having title? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no. Now, we'll say, for our purposes, what is the ramification of that? Now, we're going to see other ramifications, but for right now, what is the primary ramification of that? Bikurim. Bikurim. Right? Remember again, when do you have to bring Bikurim? Let's just tease this out. When do you have to have Bikurim? When do you have to bring Bikurim? When you have fruit. Right? When you have fruit, right? Whether you own the land or not, you have to bring Bikurim, right? Remember again, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you have Sheva Saminim, seven species indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring Bikurim. So I'll say, so now what's the Shaila? Do you recite the accompanying Psukim? Here's what we know. The only time you recite the accompanying Psukim is when? When? When you own the real estate from which those fruits emerged. The machlokis, as I will say, is having kinyan peros, is having rights over the land, give you title over the real estate. Rabbi Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no. That's the machlokis. What the Gemara wanted to do over here is say that same machlokis, ultimately Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is the same machlokis, ultimately again over here, by stei achuza. It turns out the Gemara says it doesn't work. Right, it doesn't actually line up. It doesn't actually line up. Again, this the Achuzi case, I will say, all he was trying to bring out over here, the unique piece. So remember again, part of the beauty of what we accomplished in Daf Yomi is also seeing different principles there. So I will say, so now I understand the world of real estate. These are the two different types of real estate transactions. There's a stei achuza transaction and a stei mikne transaction. Right? Stei achuza means what are you selling? What are you selling in stei achuza transaction? Your ancestral land. What are you selling in a stei mikne transaction? Just a field. I will say that field may have passed many different hands. What's the fundamental difference? Fundamental difference, I will say, is when you're makdish. So I will say, now remember, both stei achuza and stei mikne, what happens to them at Yovel? What happens at Yovel? They go back to their original owners. Where does it become complicated? When you're makdish land. If you're makdish stei achuza, to the right to the Beis HaMikdash, and you do not redeem it by Yovel, then what happens? You lost it forever. It actually becomes the property of the Kohanim. Okay? Stei Mikne, if you're Makdish it and you don't redeem it, then what happens? What happens? It goes back to its original owner. And I will say, I just want to point out, just to understand, it's logical. Why does the Stei Mikne go back to its original owner at Yovel? Why? Because it wasn't yours to be fully makdish. See, Rabbi say, when you're makdish, you're stei achuza, you're being makdish something that fully belongs to you. That's your ancestral land. And therefore, failure to redeem it means you've lost it forever. When you're makdish a stei mikne, Rabbi say, what are you being makdish? Something for which you have a long-term lease. Right? It's not yours for an it's not your stei achuza. So therefore, comes Yovel, goes back to its original owner. Good. So it turns out we wanted to align that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It didn't work. So now we're back to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That primary machlokis. Here we go. Says the Imam Rabbi Yosef, Ilav dam Rabbi Yochanan, kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf tami. Were it not for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, kinyan peros is like a kinyan aguf. Right? Lo matza yadav v'ragla b'beis ha-medrash. Rabbi Yochanan would not find his hands and his feet in the beis medrash. Now, both say, that expression of lo matza yadav v'ragla b'beis ha-medrash is an expression that means he wouldn't have found his footing. Right? He wouldn't have found his footing in the beis medrash. Why not? Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, ha'achin shechalku l'kuchos heim u'machzirin ze lo ze b'yovah. So, both say, this is a fascinating case. Right? Imagine the situation. You have a father, Yaakov. Yaakov has sons. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Four sons. Yaakov dies. So I will say, so now watch this. So now, when brothers divide up an estate, right? So four brothers, they're going to divide up the estate. So I will say, listen to this. They are considered to be, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, they are considered to be like purchasers. Like purchasers. What does that mean, I will say? This is fascinating. So I will say, so they're considered to be like purchasers. And therefore, what happens every Yovel year? Every Yovel year, the estate essentially comes back together, reverts back to the estate, so to speak, and then is redivided amongst the brothers. Now, I will say, now, the reason for that is because Rabbi Yochanan does not subscribe to the concept of Breira. Breira means retroactive clarification. So I will say, here's the interesting issue. When a father dies and leaves behind an estate, let's assume for a moment the father did not leave a will, going ahead and telling what he wants each son to have. So what do the sons do? And also, just to keep it easy, let's assume there's no Bechar. Right? Let's assume there was a daughter, right? She was the firstborn. So now the four sons are going to divide up the estate equally. If you don't, so I will say, if you subscribe to Breira, right? What's the beauty of Breira? Beauty of Breira is, when the sons divide up the estate, then what? It's retroactively clarified that what each son got is what their father wanted them to have. If you do not subscribe to Breira, then effectively they're each purchasing their lots from one another, their portions from one another. They're lekuchos, which means then that comes the Yovel year, everything reverts back to the estate, and they can redivide it. They can redivide it up the same way. They can redivide it up a separate way. But Yovel year, everything goes back to the original estate. So I will say, now watch this. He says, what that means is essentially, all of the brothers are considered to be like purchasers of the estate. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan is not correct, right? So if you don't hold that Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguftami, lo mashkachas demaisi bikurim elachad barchad ad Yoshua bin Nun. I will say, watch this. So the Gemara is saying Rabbi Yochanan has to be right. He has to be right. Because if you hold that Kenyan Peres is not Kenyan Aguftami, many, many people, even though they have lands for extended periods of time, are considered to be like purchasers. Here's a perfect example, right? Remember again, Yaakov himself had a steachusa, right? That's his land. But when Yaakov dies, and now he has four sons inheriting him, assuming he did not leave explicit instructions as to who's going to get what, so the Maisa, all of the sons are like lekuchos, they're all like purchasers. If you say, Kenyan Peres, Kenyan Aguf, fantastic. Each of the sons will bring bikurim from their respective portions, right? Recite the accompanying pesukim. Beautiful. If you don't hold Kenyan Peres, Kenyan Aguf, then you know what that means? The only people bringing bikurim and reciting the pesukim are who? The people who are sitting on land that is there, is passed down son after son after son after son, odds the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara says, kind of tongue in cheek, there's going to be like one guy reciting pesukim when bringing bikurim. Right, so it has to be that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, kra umas nisim sal Reish Lakish." So what's Rava? It says, "No. Well, there's a psukim, there's a pasuk, and the Mishnah or Brisa that supports Reish Lakish. Kra." So we'll say, "What's the pasuk? Amar Beis, the mispar shnei tevuos yimachar lecha." So we'll say, "So the pasuk says, right? Literally again, the mispar shnei tevuos yimkar lach." So we'll say, and this is very interesting. So how does this pasuk support Reish Lakish? Look at Rashi. First Rashi on the base. Rashi says, "Ubishas Hayovel Mishtoi ki dichsid b'mispar shanim achar Yovel alma in gufa karka machar ela tvu aso shel kol shana." So we'll say, listen to this. The Torah itself, when speaking about property sales, speaks about how do you purchase property during the Yovel, but mispar shanim achar Yovel tikna. So we'll say, in general, this is actually very interesting. In a Yovel market, I would say, what's a Yovel market? So Yovel market is where you know, come year 50, what's going to happen, right? The property's going back to its owner. I would say, how do you buy real estate in the Yovel market? So first of all, it's long term leases. I would say, how do you value real estate in the Yovel market? It's very simple. What do you look at? What year in the Yovel cycle are we in, right? And therefore, how many years of produce could I expect to get from this lease? So Reish Lakish says, that's how the Torah looks at real estate transactions when you have a pas, which tells you that what? B'mismar shnei tevuos yimach alachach. Ultimately, again, I will say the Torah itself. So I'm sorry, look at Rashi once more. Rashi says, you can say, B'mismar shanam achayob alma ein gufa karka machar. The Torah itself tells you that when Yovel is in effect, you are not buying the goof of the land. What are you buying? What are you buying? We'll say, what are you buying? Harvest. You're buying harvest. You're buying the number of harvests and the number of years up until the Yovel. And it's okay. Reish Lakish says, it's okay. You're not buying the goof. What you're buying is king and peros. That's what you're getting. You don't have the goof. And therefore, the Torah itself is telling you, because you don't have the goof, you only have the peros. Therefore, are you going to bring bikurim? Are you going to bring bikurim? Of course. Are you going to recite the psukim? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Torah itself says that's how real estate works in the Yovel. I will say, isn't it incredible to think about? You know, I will say, when we're in Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael's in Eretz Yisrael, everything is different. Even real estate is different. Everything is fundamentally different. Good. That's the pasuk. Mas Nisa. So I'll say, what's the bright? The Sanya is incredible. Bechor not al pishnayim b'sada hachozeres la'aviv b'yovel. Travel says, listen to this. A Bechor, firstborn, remember again, a firstborn gets a double portion. A Bechor takes twice as much, right? Takes pishnayim. He takes a double portion in a field that goes back to his father on Yovel. Amar Abayi Nachtina, so I'll say, look at Rashi. Bechor not al b'stei chozeres la'aviv b'yovel. Kolomar, b'sada hachozeres la'achim mach mashoz. All right, so let me just say this outside very quickly. The halach is like this. The halach is that a Bechor takes a double portion. They both say, what does a Bechor get a double portion in? In Muchzak. Only in things that are owned by the estate at the time of his father's death. I'll give you a good example, I will say. Let's say again, right, you have a father, Yaakov. Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Bechor. So let's say again, someone owned Yaakov $1 million. Right? Reuven doesn't get Pishnayim, he doesn't get a double portion in that loan, right? Because the loan is extant, the loan is not considered to be owned by the estate. Reuven only gets a double portion in things owned by the estate at the time of his father's death. Watch this, Shabbosai, get ready for this. Listen to how exciting this is. Shabbosai, what happens if Yaakov, the father, had a field, his field, right, estei achuza, he sold it, right, he sold it, and again, it was a long-term lease for the Yovel. Right, then what happens? Watch this. So now, let's say again, 5 years into the Yovel cycle, Yaakov the father dies. Reuven and Shimon are dividing up the estate. They waited till after Shiloh. They divided up the estate. So now what's the Shiloh? So now the Gemara says, Reuven the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the field that his father sold, that's coming back to the estate at Yovel. We'll say, what does that show you? That when you sell a field, you the seller, retain rights, you retain king and goof. The only thing that the purchaser is buying, Rabosai, is what? Peros. The fact that the Bechor is incredible, the fact that the Bechor, the firstborn son, gets Pishnayim, gets a double portion of the field that his father sold that is going to return back during Yovel, tells us that all the purchaser gets is king and peros and not king and guf. Because if the purchaser got king and guf, then the Bechor would not get Pishnayim, would not get double portion in that field. A mefurisha, again, an explicit proof to the position of Reish Lakish. Incredible. Am Rabbi. Rabbi says, Naktinon, Baal b'nichse ishto tzarech harsha. We'll say, Sabai says, we learned that a husband, well, it's actually very interesting. If a husband wants to go to Beis Din to adjudicate on behalf of his wife's property, let's say there's an issue regarding, right, Reuben's married to Rachel. There's some legal issue that came up about Rachel's property. Reuben needs a harsha. We'll say harsha means a document that authorizes Reuben to litigate on behalf of Rachel's property. And I will say, now, why is that incredible? Now, what does that show you? Then I will say, let's go back for just a second. What rights does a husband have in his wife's property? What rights?
Peros.
Then I will say, if Kinyan Peros was Kinyan Aguf, then when there was a legal issue which came up with Rachel's property, who should be able to adjudicate that case? right? Reuven, the husband, why? Because since he has kinyan peros, he has kinyan aguf. Here's what's fascinating. If there's a legal issue that comes up about Rachel's property, Reuven cannot show up in Beis Din and adjudicate that case without Rachel's permission. What does that show you? What does that show you? That kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf. Incredible. The law is just a qualification of the law. Omer el delo nachas aperi. Aval nachas aperi, migo de mishtai dina aperi, mishtai dina gufa. So I will say, by the Gemara says, this is only true, by the way, if he didn't go to Beis Din about peros. If he went to Beis Din about peros, then once he's in Beis Din adjudicating about the peros, he can also adjudicate ultimately about the gufa karkas. So what do you see from here? This, by the way, this, you have to give Rava a tremendous shkayach for this, I will say. Because Rava did a great job over here. He brought down three compelling proofs to Reish Lakish's position that kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf. Number one is the pasuk, b'mispar shnei tevuos, the Torah itself talks about real estate transactions during the Yovel cycle as only being about purchasing harvests and not about purchasing land. That's number one, right? Number two, Rava will say, a Bechar gets Pishnaim in any field that his father sold that's going to revert back to the estate at Yovel. That indicates that a Bechar only gets double portion in Muchzak, in things that the estate owns. That shows that the estate owns property, right? That the estate owns the Kinyan Aguf. The purchaser only gets the Peros. And number three, when a husband doesn't have the right to go to Beis Din to defend the claim against his wife's property without permission from her, which shows you that even though he has peros, kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf. Rabbi say, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So the Rambam says over here, so Rabbi say, this is in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Dalit, halacha vav. So listen to this. So here, we'll say, here it is. Hamocher sadeh leperos. So Rabbi say, the way the Rambam begins is with the case that we originally started with. I sell Reuven, right? Or Reuven owns the field. Reuven sells the peros of the field to Shimon. So Shimon has the right for peros. Kinyan peros. What's the halacha? Shimon has to bring bikurim. Maybe ve'eno kore. Why? Shekinyan peros eno kikinyan haguf. Now we'll say, Rabban Paskin is like Reish Lakish. Kinyan peros is not kikinyan haguf. So when you purchase peros, literally usage, right? Peros is actual usage. Usage rights are not tantamount to title. So I will say, so again, and that's going to be true in all of the cases that we mentioned. Paskin halach l'mais l'gersh l'gersh. I will say, I'll just tell you, v'darach hashkafa, so this is a fascinating machlokis. I saw brought down by the Ataris Yeshua, who was the Rebbe of Jikov. So I will say, so the Ataris Yeshua says something amazing. He says, on a hashkafic level, what is this machlokis? So I will say, get ready for this. He says, Nir Lomar, Tam Plugdom, Kikinyan Peros, Romes al Tuv Olam Hazeh. So let's listen to this. The Ataris Yeshua says very quickly, you have to start the new parak. So we'll say, what's Kinyan Peros? Peros represents the pleasures of this world. The pleasures of this world. So what does Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish says, Kinyan Peros, Einan Kikinyan Aguf. If you think that worldly pleasures are going to sustain you as a person, a kinyan aguf, you're wrong. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Kinyan peros, anything the world has to offer, it's very nice, very delicious, very wonderful. It's inan ke kinyan aguf. It's not going to sustain you. It's not going to stabilize you. It's not going to give you staying power in this world. But that's the pshat. So what's the position of Yochanan? Right? Mm-hmm. Yochanan holds kinyan peros or kinyan aguf. So the Rebbe says like this. Actually, he quotes the Magid of Koshnitz. I will say, he says the Machlokis of Yochanan Reish Lakish is the Machlokis Tzadik Ubal Tshuva. I will say, remember again, this is incredible. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were brothers-in-law, right? Remember again, Reish Lakish, I will say, Reish Lakish was a tremendous Bal Tshuva, right? Reish Lakish was a bandit, right? He was, some yourselves have him as a gladiator, right? Reish Lakish was that guy, when you saw him, you crossed the street. Right, you cross the street. Right, he was a scary guy. So we'll say, so what happens? So Reish Lakish is the Baal Tshuva. Reish Lakish says, I've tasted every pri. I've enjoyed every single thing in this world. And I'm just telling you, Kinyan Peros Lav Kikinyan Aguf. Right? Rabbi Yochanan will say, on the other hand, is the Darga of a Tzaddik. And what does the Tzaddik say? The tzaddik says, if used correctly, every pre could be lifted up. Every pre could be sanctified. Every pre somehow, every piece of gashmius somehow could be used to further ruchnius. You know what I say? See, the Baal Tshuva, Reish Lakish, understands that sometimes the pathway to tshuva, the pathway to greatness, has to be to separate yourself from certain things. The tzaddik says you could lift everything up and utilize it ultimately again through your avodas hakodesh. The machlokis, says the Magid of Kashnitz, the machlokis in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is the machlokis in the Baal Tshuva and the tzaddik gomer. The Baal Tshuva says kinyan peros lavke kinyan aguf. Distance yourself from the things that are going to hold you back. I did it all. I enjoyed it all. I experienced it all. And I'm telling you, the peros of Olam Hazeh are not going to give the guf the necessary staying power. Just stay away from it. The tzaddik, I will say, who has not had those same experiences with this world, what does the tzaddik say? Kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf. Everything in the world, ultimately, could be used to further your ruchnius. Everything in the world could be used to solidify your neshama. Kinyan peros, ultimately, again, could be used to kinyan aguf. I will say, who's right? Who's right? Who's right? They're both right. Different times in life, I will say, sometimes in life, I need to be at Reish Lakish. Sometimes, like, there are certain things I just need to distance myself from. Certain peros, which are simply not good for me, I need to push them away. Certain things are going to hold me back, I need to push them on the side. Other times I will say, I can be a Rabbi Yochanan. Can you peros, can you enough? There's a lot of good gashmius in this world, which if used in the correct way, ultimately has the ability to bolster my guf, has the ability to bolster my identity. If I find the kiddush in the gashmius, it could take me so far. Two different approaches in our avodas Hashem. Reish Lakish, the Baal Tshuva, Rabbi Yochanan, the Tzaddik Gomer, both correct. Keep them both with us as we go through life. Draw on each of them at different times. Hadrin Olach, Hashrech, Abosai, Mazel Tov. Hanizakin, Shalom Be'ira. So Abosai, very interesting case here. Very interesting case. Hanizakin, Abosai, Nizakin means damages. We're going to talk about different situations, ultimately, again, which require different forms of compensation. Damages, Rabbi Osai, are always assessed with iddis. So Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, iddis means choicest or best property. Look at Rashi. Be iddis shebenichse hamazik shenoach lo adam ligvos muat mikarka iddis. Well, ligvos, Rabbi Osai, we're going to see when a person, right? Let's say following case, Reuven damages Shimon. So obviously, Rabbi Osai, damages are paid by money. If you don't have money, so Basin will take real estate. The shaila, of course, becomes what type of real estate do you seize? When it comes to damages, damages are paid by the best of the damagers' real estate. Du baal chov bebeinonis, creditors pay with in between, right, middle road property. Uksubas isha beziburis. Ksuba is paid ultimately with inferior property. Remeir says af ksubas isha bebeinonis. Even uksuba is paid with beinonis, good middle of the road property. In general, again, Rabbi Osai, whenever paying a debt, right, so only time you extract from encumbered properties is when there are no unencumbered properties. Even if the unencumbered properties ultimately are inferior. When collecting from the estate of Yisomim, you only collect from inferior property. We'll discuss this in the Gemara, but essentially, if you have to extract, for achilas peros, shevach kakos, we're going to see those are actually cases of stolen property. Mazon aisha v'abonos means to feed a wife and daughters. So I will say, we do not go ahead and extract from that, from encumbered properties, for the benefit of society. Again, we'll discuss that in the Gemara. V'amotzi mitzia lo yisham netikin ol. Abosai, last case, interesting case over here. If you, Abosai, listen to this case. Imagine for a moment, I find a wallet. I open it up. I see that it's Reuven. So I take it to Reuven, right? I say, Reuven, here's your wallet. Reuven says, thank you so much. By the way, there's only $100 in this wallet. There was $300 in here, right? So Abosai, so normally, I say, well, I only found $100. So Abosai, normally we would call it in halacha, mod de b'miktsas. What's halacha mode that makes us partial admission? Partial admission requires a shvuah. I will say in this case, the Chazal said that when it comes to returning a lost item, we don't make a person take a shvuah, mipnei tikon, for the benefit of the site. I will also stop over here for today. Again, we did the Mishnah, but we're going to go through a piece by piece tomorrow. I will say, shkoyach. Incredible. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a great day, everyone. Oh, wow. That'd be great. Amen.